Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, shot. Premature. Sorry.
Oh, boy.
It's premature.
All right, hot shot start. Time. Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
It's time now for the BetQL Boston Podcast. Let's run the slate with your host, Mike Mutnanski.
Premature celebration of the Open here, Shine, because there's football tonight and you can't contain yourself.
No, I cannot. I'm so excited. I just need to get going now. Move, move, move. Get me to kickoff.
Happy football, buddy. I was outside.
Happy football to you.
Watering some plants today, and I got to admit, just sort of hit me like I'm going to get to sit and watch a 3-hour football game tonight where every play matters and there's player. I got a bit. I think that maybe it was the COVID bout. I think it sort of snuck up on me, Shime. Unbelievably.
Yeah, the last two mornings, I've really felt it because I get up in the morning. I get up super early for the morning show, so I'm up at 4:30 in the morning, and I step outside, and there is just this crispness in the air of that, right around that 60-degree mark. That it's just like. It smells like football, and I've been thrilled all week for this, and I'm so excited it's here finally.
I'm pumped too. Can we start with one negative? I got to scratch this itch.
Okay.
We'll get to.
Okay.
So we have division winners. I have award stuff to get to. I'm warning people right now. This is probably going to go a good 40 minutes today because I have a lot of stuff in front of us. It's football. So this is going to be a long. I want to promise that, but I think it'll be a longer podcast. As we start the podcast, folks, and football season is here, we ask you one flipping thing on the show. Subscribe, rate, and review. That is it. That is all I'm looking for. Okay, so BetQL Boston, iTunes, Odyssey app, Spotify. I don't care where. Subscribe, rate, and review. We're going to be doing this podcast every day. My buddy Scott from New Balance has already subscribed. So unsubscribe and subscribe again, Scott. Okay? Texting me this morning saying, am I going to get showdown ideas from you on the podcast this year? The answer is yes, but you got to step up and subscribe. We don't ask for anything, Shime. Nothing.
Nope, nothing.
I'm doing this essentially for free for you. Subscribe, rate, and review. Shime on three. We'll say it together. 1, 2, 3.
Subscribe, rate, review.
Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey app. That's all I'm asking to do.
Yep.
Take your wife's phone. Take your kid's iPad. I don't care. Subscribe, rate, and review. Go to an Apple store where all the phones are out there. Subscribe, rate, and review.
Preach.
BetQL Boston. That's all I'm asking.
Yep.
And for the first week of football season, I'm going to keep asking until I see some of you folks step up here. And I want screenshots of people doing it. Tweet it to us. Subscribe, rate, and review. Shime, now you do it by yourself.
Subscribe, rate, and please review.
Or you're going to get an entire podcast on a Football Friday. That's all we say for 30 minutes. Just go back and forth. Subscribe, rate, review.
It's like
That's it.
It's like detention after school where you just have to write it out 100 times.
I will
I will subscribe. I will rate. I will review.
I have no cough button. Sorry about that. But COVID's still fighting me.
It's okay.
Fighting in my body. So subscribe, rate, and review. Let's get the ridiculousness out of the way first. So it is Thursday morning as we're talking right now. The Mass Gaming Commission is meeting now. They were scheduled to meet today. And Deborah Goldberg, was she on your show? Was Deb Goldberg on your show for Find Mass Money, the state treasurer for the Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon?
I don't believe so. Oh. She might have been.
I thought she, because, and then they Find Mass Money, state treasurer, etc. She stepped up in front of the Gaming Commission today. And I'm going to read this paragraph from, she included this in the packet that she gave today, the Gaming Commission. Lawmakers project sports wagering will generate $60 million in state revenue each year. Only $16.5 million will be earmarked for unrestricted local aid. By contrast, the state lottery, now Deb Goldberg also, by the way, the chairman of the lottery, chairwoman. By contrast, the lottery produced approximately $1.1 billion for our cities and towns just last year. Simply put, the lottery plays a vital role in generating unrestricted local aid for our cities and towns. It is imperative we continue to ensure it does so. To accomplish this goal, I seek provisions that mirror the regulations governing the existing gaming licenses. Specifically, Deb Goldberg says, I believe that applicants should be required, these are sports betting applicants, prior to receiving a license in Massachusetts, to present a plan that can mitigate impacts on the lottery. In addition, that licenses partner with the lottery on cross-promotion, both in-person and online. So the lottery commission chairwoman today stepped up and basically, after decades of the lottery having a monopoly on gaming here in the state, and again, this is my opinion, this is not fact anywhere, but my opinion is that the Mass State Lottery slowed down the process of legalized gambling in this state and fought it tooth and nail because they're worried about what it's going to do to scratch tickets, etc., which to me is insane. Now, after decades of a monopoly, they want each sports betting partner to partner up with them, which I find utterly ridiculous and just so Massachusetts shine.
That's so dumb.
I understand what she's saying, but to make it a rule and make these different companies partner up with the lottery, I find utterly ridiculous. And I knew it was too good to be true, Shime. Like, it happened last minute. I understand that. But it sort of passed without any real poison pills. And now we know. Deb Goldberg was planned the entire time. And I'm sure the Gaming Commission is going to institute some sort of policy where they're going to have to do this. I find it ridiculous. It's going to only slow down the process. And it's frustrating to know now that the lottery is going to be able to sink their teeth into this thing, and it's going to slow down the process. So I point that out because in the same meeting, Brad Hill, who's the commissioner of the Mass Gaming Commission, who is formerly a state representative, he was on our show a bunch of times, he pushed back at a report on Toucher Rich today where one of their guys, you know, Dan and Joe, do a good job with sports betting. They're being told that the casinos are being told they'll be able to set up in a couple of weeks. And Brad Hill said, let's pump the brakes on that. It's going to be months, not weeks. So
I had a guy reach out to me actually the other day and say that he was told October. And I said, no shot.
No. And it's not Dan's fault. It's in the casinos, they want this done sooner. And I maybe they believe it is going to happen faster. I've heard it's going on a year now from people tied to Encore Boston Harbor. And they seem like very nice people that have just been so wrong about this and just so presumptive about the timeline and everything else. They're the only ones that are pushing it. Like, Encore Boston Harbor is keeps telling people over and over it's going to be this, that, and the other thing. And it's going to be, as we have said on this show, Shime, I'll go back to my track record on this. Whatever you think it's going to be in this state, it's going to be longer because it's Massachusetts. And I think I told people a month ago that the very aggressive starting date would be around Thanksgiving. The very conservative starting date would be the NFL playoffs / Super Bowl. And I've talked to multiple people since then. Nothing has changed my mind. In fact, I'd probably lean more towards after Thanksgiving now because I don't think these sports bet licensees thought they were going to have to, you know, kowtow to the Mass State Lottery to get a sports betting license. So this show, the BetQL Boston podcast, is standing by in and around Thanksgiving, super aggressive, probably after at this point, and most likely early 2023. I always thought that the retail would open first, but they've decided they're not going to let retail open first. They want to open it all at the same time. So because of that, push whatever your timeline was back further because they want to time it together.
And so just for reference for people, too, the state of Kansas, from the day the bill was signed, it took 81 days for them to start legally gambling. Now, that is the state of Kansas. This, however, is the state of Massachusetts.
Massachusetts.
So it being completely conservative, right, maybe say 100 days. Add an extra 19 because Massachusetts works slow.
That's fair.
That if you're very aggressive, 100 days puts you the Sunday before Thanksgiving from the day the bill was signed.
Not, I don't think it's going to happen.
Which I don't. I agree. I'm just saying from a very aggressive standpoint, if you want to be super optimistic, that would be, in my opinion, the absolute earliest you could see things being done here in Massachusetts. My realistic expectation is probably right around the new year in the middle of the NFL playoffs.
Yeah, and if we're being honest now, my expectation is now going to be they've targeted the Super Bowl and use that as like a big sports betting launch.
So that they have it for the Super Bowl and for March Madness.
I think New Hampshire did the same thing. I have to go back and think about it. I think they did the same thing because it's just going to – think how long it took. They legalized marijuana in this state, and it took – it was years before they opened their first pot shops. So, I mean, this is not as difficult. It should not be. But, again, this is their second big meeting post-accepting it as a law, and we're getting this curveball of, oh, by the way, if you want to be – potentially, if you want to have a sports license, hey, Barstool, what are you going to do for the Mass State Lottery? And I think I just saw – our buddy Bill Spiros, not Boston sports guy, it's Bill Simmons, but Bill Spiros of the Boston Herald say that, what did you say? Sports betting operators should mitigate the economic impact of the lottery. And partner with the lottery also seeks betting kiosks placed with lottery providers. So already we're getting a different spin than we had even a month ago when this thing passed. So, I mean, I
don't. Yes, it's.
It's not surprising.
It's going to take a bit.
It's not surprising, but
not even a little bit.
This is the first new hurdle, and there'll be many new hurdles, Shime. Which is why, too, if our buddy Joey Bags tweeted at me from Tiverton, Rhode Island, you're going to keep going there, keep going to Mohegan Sun, keep going to New Hampshire, keep in your local bookie, keep betting offshore. Your fall football betting, do not plan on betting in Massachusetts. You should
correct.
Be using this time to putting funds aside, so that when it does launch, you can take advantage of the sports betting offers that they have. And I was actually listening to Adam Levitan at Establish the Run. I was going back, and I told you yesterday, I was going through a bunch of old football podcasts in the last couple of weeks.
Yep.
And he was saying the same thing about Colorado, where he's got money in multiple books because the opening offers are just so good. And it was refreshing to hear somebody who talks gambling on a national level say exactly what I said. Be putting $50 a week aside so that when this thing opens, you can get free money from the sports books. End of rant. End of rant, you should be doing that right now. Not worrying about when you can bet in state. It's not going to happen for the next couple weeks and or months. Put your money aside and know that when it does launch, there is free money flowing into you. Like those Super Bowl promos are going to be outrageous
in this state, Sean.
Okay? Put your money aside. Be ready to go. End of sports betting talk. Subscribe, rate, and review.
Subscribe, rate, and review.
Review. All right, let's get to the football, Shime.
Let's do it.
All right, we both are on record. Let's go through the divisions here. I know you did this on the Six Rings podcast. Let's cross-promote. Tell the people what you guys did on Six Rings yesterday, your football podcast, where we are a gambling podcast, Krishan.
Yeah, so what we did over on the Six Rings pod is we went through every single division, picked all our division winners, picked our wild card winners, picked our championship game matchups, followed by our Super Bowl matchup and winner, and on top of that also picked some award winners as well.
I love it. Love it, love it, love it. All right, let's start in the AFC East. I will not be having a bet in the AFC East. Other than that, you may have talked me into this exact order bet.
Yep.
I'm making a big ride to the great state of New Hampshire today.
Same.
You may have convinced me on that, but as far as the actual division goes, I'm not laying the -240 on the Bills, and I see no other avenue to make money other than, like we said yesterday, exact position order, Bills, Dolphins, Patriots, Jets. And then Bills, Patriots, Dolphins, Jets, potentially. Those two can potentially bet those two can still make some money. That's the best way I would play it.
100%. Yeah, there's no value in betting the Bills. I do think the Bills win this running away. The best way to do it is the exact order bet if you feel the need.
All right, so that's the AFC East. No real action there for us. How about the NFC East, Shime, where right now the current odds are Eagles +140, Cowboys +160, Commanders 5-1, and the Giants are 8-1. If forced to bet, and I probably won't, it'd be on the Eagles at plus 140, but it's not something I love either way.
Yeah, I love the Eagles. I'm already betting them plus 140 100% of the time. I love the Eagles this year. I actually have the Eagles, spoiler alert for you, in the NFC Championship game this year. So
you're buying all the hype.
I was ahead of the hype. I was on the Eagles train prior to all this hype coming through.
They're the most bet team for the futures in all the books right now. So you weren't. The
I am
first
aware of that, but I have been on the Eagles now for a couple months. Like it's not just all of a sudden. People are talking about them and Shime's on board. No. I was on the Eagles a couple months ago. So I am. I am a huge fan of what Howie Roseman has done in the front office here, the way he has moved around this team, the acquisitions at the draft and in free agency. On top of you get A.J. Brown in here. I think Jalen Hurts could be primed for a Josh Allen type lift, not quite as dramatically great, but a very significant lift by adding A.J. Brown, similar to when Josh Allen got Stephon Diggs. I like what this defense is. It's a top five offensive line in football, and they have draft picks to keep this going for the future. I love what the Eagles are doing.
Yeah, I will just say I'm leery to get excited as you are because I think there is still – I still need to see it from Jalen Hurts. I don't think he has the natural talent of Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen is bigger, stronger, better arm. So I had more faith in his physical talents. I'm with you on Hurts, man. I've drafted him in a bunch of best ball teams in the underdog battle royal. For week one, I've taken a bunch of times because him against Detroit this week is a great setup. But I like the Eagles. Don't love them. It would be a lean, not a lock for me. How about the AFC South here, Chris Schein? I'm going to scroll down here. Colts -130, Titans +175, Jags 7.5-1. Texans 30-1. Again, if you were seriously betting this stuff, you probably bet it weeks, if not months ago. So these are basically the closing lines on this. There's much better value in many of these odds weeks and months ago. I have NB for no bet written down here. I would not want to lay the Colts at minus 130. They're probably going to win it, but I'm not interested in investing 100 to win or 130 to win 100 for the next 6 months.
I am with you. I believe the Colts win this division. I am not betting it, however. -130, not worth it for me. The one thing I may do, though, and just want to the little pizza sprinkle on the Jaguars here for a couple reasons. One, Trevor Lawrence, I think, was overblown how quote unquote bad he was last year, specifically because of Urban Meyer. He now has Doug Peterson. I think that roster is actually pretty good. And the AFC South can just always be a disaster. So you could theoretically see a team winning that division at 8-9. That's kind of where I'm at. And I think the Jaguar schedule is easy enough that they could pull that off. So I may pizza sprinkle on the Jags a little there to win the division at plus 750.
NFC South, Bucks are a big favorite at minus 250. Saints +310. Panthers 9-1. The Falcons at 35-1. I think it's pretty likely the Bucks win this thing going away, and thus I will have no bet on this division.
I am with you. No bet here. I am on the Buccaneers.
How about in the AFC North, Shime? Baltimore is plus 140. Bengals plus 170. The Browns are plus 380. The Steelers are 10-1. I really like the Ravens at plus 140. There's a lot of reasons to like the Ravens this year. Lamar Jackson contract year, essentially, unless they get a deal done between now and tomorrow. I find it unlikely it'll happen. He's healthy. Dobbins will be back in a couple weeks. They have a whole holster of running backs that they can go to between now and then. I think Mark Andrews is poised to have the best tight end offensive year in the NFL this season. Good offensive line. Tons of injuries last year. Easier schedule. Better luck this year. This would be a lock for me at the Ravens at plus 140.
Yep, I'm with you. I am all over the Ravens. I love the Ravens this year. I think just injury luck wise alone. I mean, they were eight and two and the number one overall seed at one point last year. I think it was 8-2. Might have been 8-4. Regardless, they were the number one overall seed before Lamar Jackson got hurt. And then unfortunately went on a massive losing streak. So I absolutely love the Ravens this season.
NFC North, Packers are minus 175, Vikings plus 250, Lions 10-1, Bears 15-1. Shime, you go first here in the NFC North.
Yeah, I'm going to go no bet here. I'm on the Packers. I just think Matt LaFleur, Aaron Rodgers are going to find a way to get it done just because they've won 13 straight. They've won 13 games, three straight seasons. Never been done before, by the way. And so I think they kind of continue that even without Davante Adams because David Bakhtiari's coming back. This offensive line will get shored up. And on top of that, their defense might be a top five defense in football. So I can't bet against them. But if you're a massive, massive believer in this Minnesota Vikings team, I can be coaxed into agreeing with you. But I'm just going to not bet this.
Yeah, I like the Vikings at plus 250.
I think offensively, I
love the idea going from Zimmer to an offensive mind in Kevin O'Connell, who's been in that McVay system. He gets Cousins. He gets JJ. He gets Thielen. He gets a healthier Smith. He gets Dalvin Cook. He gets Alexander Mattison. Like, it's a really, 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 really good offensive skill group. They added a great linebacker there as well. I don't think it's likely. It's not a slam dunk, but at 2.5 to 1, I know I'll have some money on the Vikings this year. And it's also sort of it's an anti-Aaron Rodgers thing. Like, potentially, if Lazard can't go this weekend, for example, like, Sammy Watkins is the number one receiver. And I think Aaron Rodgers is really, really good. I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's overrated or something. His playoff wins leave a lot to be desired versus a guy like Tom Brady. But, I mean, I would like to see it. And I guess if you're banking on the Packers, are you assuming they're going to do a lot of, like, Aaron Jones, A.J. Dillon, just keep the ball on the ground early?
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be
with that team.
I don't think it's going to be like a fun, exciting team to watch, but I think they're just going to be efficient in running. I mean, they've already been one of the slowest teams in terms of plays run per game because they like to take their time. They run efficient offense. They run the football. They throw easy catchable passes. Normally Aaron Rodgers throwing a Davante Adams. That won't be the case, but I think you're going to see a ton of Aaron Jones and a ton of A.J. Dillon, and I think this game is going to be one in these games are going to be one in the trenches for the Packers. I just think their offensive line and then their defense are just so good. So I don't expect them to be a fun and exciting team, but I do expect them to be the better team in the division.
NFC West has defending champ Rams. They're plus 130 to win the division. 49ers plus 150. Cardinals 4-1. Seahawks 20-1. I really don't like the Cardinals this year.
I'm with you.
Really don't like them. And so it is weird. We talked about this quite a bit on BetQL weekend, you know, in the offseason. Like, the Rams seem poised. I guess the question is, at plus 150, you're basically betting on
Trey Lance
being really good.
Yep.
Do you want to bet on Trey Lance at plus 150?
No, I'm going to go with the Rams plus 130 here. I like the Rams. I think they repeat in the division at least. I don't think they'll be as successful this season as they were last season, but I just think they're a good, well-run organization. I don't think Sean McVay is going to struggle. He's never had, I think in 81 games, he's never had a losing record as a head coach in the NFL. That could change tonight if he loses his home opener for the first time ever. But I don't expect them to regress a ton. I think they're still a playoff team, and I think they win this division. I like Trey Lance a lot. I just don't think they're going to be good enough, especially early in the season, to accrue a big enough, you know, win total early on that they could afford to stumble a little later.
Yeah, it's. I get what you're saying, and I agree. It's just I don't see any value here. Like, at plus 130 and plus 150, it's one of those two teams. I would probably lean Rams, and if they lost tonight and somehow got to, like, you know, let's say the Niners beat the Bears this weekend. Let's say they win. I could see a scenario where maybe at 2.5 to 1, if they really, if they overcorrect for a 49ers win and a Cardinals win and a Rams loss, I could see jumping back in because a lot of what you said makes a lot of sense. But at plus 130, I'm going to wait and see on that. The most interesting division, I think, maybe in our lifetimes in the NFL, is the AFC West. Chiefs at plus 175, Chargers at 220, Broncos at 260, Raiders at 650. Shyam, you go first, man. This is a very fun division where I could honestly see any of these four teams winning the AFC West.
Yeah, I already have a bet. I have better odds than what are listed. I'm going with the Las Vegas Raiders. I got them at 7-1. It's now 6.5-1. I think this is going to be an absolute slog of a division, right? All four of these teams are going to be battling it out. Unfortunately for me, I think the Denver Broncos are going to be the odd man out when it comes to playoff time. And I think the Kansas City Chiefs take a step back, especially early on in the season, figuring out how their offense is going to function without Tyreek Hill. I think the Chargers offense is absolute. I mean, the Chargers roster in general is just absolutely loaded from top to bottom. But I'm still not 100% sold on Brandon Staley. And with the Raiders, I have this weird confidence in Josh McDaniels that the second time around, he's far more mature. And I look at this offense, and people don't understand that Derek Carr threw for 4,800 yards last year, and he just added Davante Adams to his receiving core. So now he has Davante Adams, Hunter Renfrow and Darren Waller. There's a chance Derek Carr throws for over 5,000 yards this year, and I just think the Raiders are going to be able to win some of these ugly battles. I understand the offensive line isn't great, but their defense is getting better. Max Crosby is awesome. And then, like I said, I just don't know how you stop this offense right now. So I'm gonna go with the Raiders. I think they are the best value on the board here.
Yeah, it's weird, man. We have not talked a lot about this stuff because we've been throwing to the baseball, wanted to wait for football season. But I'm in on the Raiders. I mean, this is for a lot of the reasons you just said. And it's interesting. Like the Chargers are sort of like the Eagles to me in the AFC. I understand it. They're talented, but you said it there. I'd like to see it with Staley. I'd like to see it. It almost feels like there are bets or teams that just, it looks too easy.
Yep.
And like, you know, so Keenan Allen a year older, Austin, I would like to see how it plays out there. I feel the same way about the Broncos. Like, people just think that Russell Wilson's going to show up
like,
there.
Yeah, like, we know nothing about Nathaniel Hackett, like, at all.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is a massive question mark. I don't even know what the offense is really going to look like.
Plus 260. I would not touch that in that division.
I am out on that. I think
if I had to rank them in order, I think Raiders at 650, and then Chiefs at 175 would be my favorite two bets in that division.
I'm with you. I'm 100% on the same boat as you here. We are in total lockstep.
All right. Any awards that stand out? I'll let you go first in the MVP because, again, I think we have not talked about this, but in hearing you sort of mention this award, I think we're on – I have two guys I want to bet, and I think we're on the same 20-1 shot, so why don't you go first?
Yeah, so ultimately, I think my MVP winner, I'm going to go with chalk, and I think it's going to be Josh Allen.
Wow, okay.
But the guys I want to sprinkle – there are a couple guys I want to sprinkle on here that are a bit longer shots. One in particular, as I already mentioned, Derek Carr. Ultimately, last year, he had 4,800 yards, but his touchdown numbers just weren't great. He had 23 touchdowns. I don't want to say 12 interceptions. If that touchdown number gets up into the 30s and he throws for over 5,000 yards, you're looking at a possible MVP season for Derek Carr, especially if they win that tough AFC West division. And so I really like getting him at 28-1. And then the other guy that I really kind of want to take a sprinkle on, just because prior to the last two seasons, prior to the Aaron Rodgers MVP, the last three MVP winners before him were all 40-1 or higher shots at MVP, being Lamar, Patrick Mahomes, and Matt Ryan. Yep. Three of the last four, Tom Brady won in between Ryan and Mahomes. And so I love always, every year, I love to pick a guy out that's 40-1 or better.
Let me look. Currently 40-1, or is this already something you bet?
No, it's currently 40-1, or better, or like worse, I guess technically.
50-1, Derrick Henry.
50-1, Kirk Cousins.
Wow.
You mentioned it already.
You got to bet the Vikings, Ed. You're on the Packers.
Like I said, it's a sprinkle. I didn't bet the division.
I don't hate it.
Look at it this way. He had 4,900 yards the last time he was in a McVay-style offense. 4,900. Wow. And that was playing for the Washington effing Redskins at the time.
And he has much better talent now.
Right? No kidding. He has Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, and Adam Thielen.
I don't hate it.
If you're going to take a shot on a guy that's 40-1 or better, absolutely the guy to target.
I'm adding it. It totally makes sense. And toss
$5 on it, and you win $250 if it hits. Like that's all you do,
guys. It's a narrative award.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay, so think about this too: these big fat sports writers who suck down Diet Cokes and eat free popcorn every Sunday and complain about everything under the sun because their life is so hard. They have to cover sports. Like, they default to what's easy. And if the Vikings find their way to 12 or 13 wins, and Cousins throws 35, 40 touchdowns and leads, he's gonna win the MVP.
By the way,
worst case scenario, he'll be like 8-1, not 50-1 the final couple of weeks, and you can hedge your ass off if you want to.
Yeah, and there's only a few quarterbacks who have thrown for, I believe the number is 4,200 yards and 33-plus touchdowns each of the last two seasons. Kirk Cousins is one of those guys, and he has done it the back-to-back last two seasons, 42-65, 35 touchdowns, 42-21, 33 touchdowns. He also completes over 66% of his passes every single season, and Justin Jefferson might be the offensive player of the year. So, like, I think if you're going to take a shot, a long shot here, Kirk Cousins is a guy.
All right, so I don't have a I did not even look that far down because I get stuck. I mean, I keep looking at it, and I keep getting stuck. I mean, and this is sort of like the Eagles. Like, everyone's on the Eagles, and a lot of people are on this, but the lines has not moved here. Lamar for MVP at 20-1.
Yeah, this is my other guy. The reason I'm not picking Lamar, and I'll spoil it right now, is because since 1999, the guy who's won the MVP in the regular season does not win the Super Bowl. The Ravens are my Super Bowl pick. Therefore, I cannot pick Lamar to win the MVP, even though I believe he could.
It's all set up for him this year. The offense is set up for him. They're healthy this year. He's got legit weapons sort of everywhere. And again, I'm in on Mark Andrews having a monster year at tight end this year. It's a good spot. He gets the Jets week one. Like, he's going to go off for 250 yards passing, two touchdowns, and a rushing touchdown. This 20-1 is going to be 10-1 by Monday morning.
Yeah.
So I'm in on Lamar Jackson at 20-1. He's my favorite pick. The other guy, and it's chalky, he's the second choice on the board. But I mentioned narrative stuff. So Chris Godwin's healthy. Like, this idea that Chris Godwin's going to miss a lot of time, he may miss week one or be limited. This dude came back from ACL as fast as anybody has. So Godwin, Evans, Gage, entire receiving core ready to go.
Julio Jones
now in Tampa. I mean, a division that is embarrassingly soft this year outside of the Saints. Like, you want to talk about narrative? Tom Brady at his age, 4,000 yards passing, 35 touchdown passes.
All the news about him and his wife having troubles and possible divorce,
doubt.
And he just stomps it out.
8.5-1 seems very fair to me. So those are my favorite two. They're both quarterbacks, obviously. Lamar Jackson, 20-1. Tom Brady, 8.5.
It's really funny that the two MVP picks you have are the quarterbacks of the team I have winning both conferences. It's just, I think that's, you and I, like you said, you and I have not talked about this at all. Those are my guys, and I find it very funny.
It's a very easy road. Like, you could take a step back from 30,000 feet. Look at the AFC versus the NFC. Like, the AFC, there are legitimate Super Bowl contenders everywhere. In the NFC, okay, I'll give you the Bucs as a contender. You think the Eagles are a contender. That'd be a massive leap. I guess the Packers are a contender. And then there's only like three or four legit Super Bowl contenders in the NFC. And Brady has the easiest division by far.
Yeah.
So I think 8.5-1 there. Anyone else MVP stand out for you? You might be interested. I mean, you like Jalen Hurts. He's 20-1 right there with Kyler and Lamar.
Yeah,
MVP
I like Jalen Hurts. I'm not going to bet on him, though. I'm going to stick with Allen, Carr, and then my long shot is Kirk Cousins.
Okay. Offensive rookie of the year. I'm giving you bets that I have played so far or anything we can talk through before kickoff tonight. These boards will probably they'll be available. They're not going to close them tonight. They'll probably be available until week
over
one
the weekend.
Starts.
Yeah,
I assume so. I like Sky Moore for offensive rookie of the year. There are so many targets that have to be replaced there. And think about the guys who are replacing him, right? MVS, who we know is just a deep sort of threat. That's what he was in Green Bay, at least. We know what Juju Smith-Schuster is. He's unreliable. Travis Kelce's set up for a monster year. But Sky Moore, similar build to Tyreek Hill. Training camp highlights have been unbelievable. And I'm one of these dummies, Sean, that sees like one highlight and like, oh, that guy's awesome.
Yep.
So 12-1. I've already bet Sky Moore for Offensive Rookie of the Year. Any other award bets you have made or you want to talk through here this morning, Sean?
Yeah, so I got two. So one other Offensive Rookie of the Year bet that I'm actually going to place later this afternoon. I'm also going to take a rookie receiver. I'm actually going to go with Romeo Dubs, though, just because I think if Green Bay continues to have regular season success like
Dubs,
they had the last three seasons,
Dubs,
somebody has to catch passes, and I think Dubs will end up being the guy. The guy can just flat out play. And when I look at the receiver core, he is the best athlete of all of the Green Bay Packer receivers. So I'm going to go with Romeo Dubs there. And then the last one is Coach of the Year. You and I are both really high on the Las Vegas Raiders. Josh McDaniels is 20-1 to win Coach of the Year. So I'm going to place a bet on Josh McDaniels as well. I just think that if they somehow win that division and they're a, you know, 2 or 3 seed in the playoffs, I don't see who has a better story than him. Again, this is a narrative award, so they're not going to give it to a guy like Sean McVay or Andy Reid or Sean McDermott or Matt LaFleur or Kyle Shanahan because they all just continually have success. They're going to look for a guy that either is a new coach or didn't have success last year and turn things around. And for me, that guy might be Josh McDaniels.
Yeah, I just worry. And I was looking, we did some research on this earlier in the summer. The guys who win coach of the year, their teams have to win 8 games. Like, I always, like Doug Peterson was somebody I was touting in Jacksonville. Like, but are they likely to win 8 games? Probably not. And by the way, he's down there at, 18-1 now.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. They've got to, I think they have to qualify for the playoffs, and there's got to be some storyline and or turnaround from the year before.
Which is why I think the two best guys on the list are Kevin O'Connell at 16-1. You said, the Vikings hype, and then Josh McDaniels at 20-1. Those are the two names that stand out to me the most. I don't think Brandon Staley, I don't think the Chargers are going to, I don't think they'd give it to Staley. I think they'd give an award to Herbert before they go give an award to the coach. And so I just rule him out. Mike McDaniels, the next on the board. I don't think Miami will make the playoffs. I think they could win 10 games. I don't think they'll necessarily make the playoffs, though. Dan Campbell won't make the playoffs. Doug Peterson won't make the playoffs. Nathaniel Hackett, as I already said, I know nothing about this guy. I'm going to pretend like I know nothing about, or explain like I know nothing about him, and I'm going to ignore him. And then Brian Daboll is not going to win enough games. So, and then you're looking at Nick Sirianni is the next guy on the list, which I don't hate either. But I think I prefer Josh McDaniels or Kevin O'Connell.
I got to be honest with you. This line has moved in the right way for me. I'm glad I didn't bet it over the summer because I can get John Harbaugh at 25-1.
Yeah, that's also a great bet.
I think, and I love Josh McDaniels. But who's more likely to win more games and go to the playoffs? Harbaugh's got an easier division. He has a legit MVP candidate in Lamar Jackson. They didn't make the playoffs a year ago. There's a couple narratives here. Not playoffs a year ago, playoffs this year, soft schedule, potential for 10 or more wins, a team much better than a year ago. I am for sure betting John Harbaugh 25-1 for Coach of the Year.
I like it. I don't hate
sure,
it at all.
For sure betting him. One I wanted to talk through with you, comeback player of the year.
Okay.
Have you thought about this L?
I have. I have picked somebody for comeback player of the year.
Okay, so why don't you go first? Because this is the most narrative award of all.
Yep.
And it sort of got thrown for a loop here because of what happened to Brian Robinson Jr. For those who don't know, he's the rookie running back from Washington. The dude got shot. So I think if he comes back and plays, he's currently the second choice at 4.5-1. If he plays in the second half of the year and plays well for the Washington Commanders, like he probably wins it, because guy gets shot, plays that same year and plays well, but he'd have to play well. There's some other guys that interest me here. Why don't you go first? Because I know I'm gonna bet this thing. And by the way, these do close tonight at 8. So if we're listening right to this now, these awards bets all close tonight at 8, according to DK. So why don't you go first here, Krishan?
Yeah, my pick here is Saquon Barkley. I think that Giants
16-1, juicy.
That Giants offensive line looks pretty good, and you now have Brian Daboll there. He's as healthy as he's ever been. And so I think if there's anybody primed to have a massive year that otherwise hasn't in the last couple, Saquon Barkley is that guy. And having been out basically, the last 2 seasons, if he comes in and has 1,200 yards on the ground and 400 yards receiving, he probably gets the award.
Yeah, this is an interesting one. I did not consider him. What I'm going to end up doing is I think I'm going to – it's tough to go against Brian. I mean, I don't want to say go against him. But, I mean, there's no timetable. He's going to miss a big chunk of the year. They put him at 4.5-1. It was 10-1. He got bet down to 4-1 or so. It would be very, very rare. So since 2001, Shime, okay, I'll give you a little background courtesy of our friends at the Action Network. Since 2001, there have been 22 winners of the award. 14 have been quarterbacks. So basically, 14 quarterbacks, 3 receiver, 1 linebacker, 1 defensive end, 1 safety, 1 tight end. A running back has never, ever, ever won the award.
Adrian Peterson didn't win in the year him and Peyton Manning both popped off there.
Is the only time a running back ever won the award was 2001. Again, this is courtesy of the Action Network. I use them quite a bit. Check them out. Garrison Hurst, who missed 2 years because of an implication with her. He came back, I think it was the Cardinals, ran for 1,200 yards. He won comeback player of the year. Teddy Bruschi and Steve Smith Jr. split the award in 2005. So one of the receivers and one of the linebackers actually split the award. Alex Smith, everyone thought his career was over. He came back, was not very good, but he still won the award. This season, guys who could come back from a quarterback standpoint, Jameis at 5.5-1 is an obvious choice. He's been bet down quite a bit. Baker Mayfield 8-1.
I know where you're going with this.
My guy Mitch Trubisky 12-1. Who's interesting there? Daniel Jones 16-1. But you have to remember, like, what's Daniel Jones coming back from? A shitty coach?
Yeah,
like,
no. Daniel Jones isn't a comeback player here.
I don't think he's a comeback player of the year. I'm looking for guys who didn't start a lot last year or were hurt, right? And so I'm trying to talk through it. And I don't see anybody in, like, the real, like, they're not going to give it to Deshaun Watson. Like, they're just not going to do it. Trey Lance is 50-1, but what did he come back from?
Nothing.
Like, so I was trying to talk with you, like, is it as simple as, so Christian McCaffrey missed a lot of time last year.
Yep.
He's 7.5-1. He's the fourth choice. If he has a requisite Christian McCaffrey year, doesn't he win the award going away?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't think so. I think there are
He was hurt last year. He missed time. He only played 10 games last year. He played 10 games the last 2 years. If he stays healthy, I feel like he's like,
three other running backs with better stories than Christian McCaffrey. They may not put up quite as good of numbers, but they have a better comeback story than Christian McCaffrey. And as we've been saying, these are narrative awards. I think J.K. Dobbins, Saquon Barkley, and Cam Akers all have better stories than Christian McCaffrey.
Okay.
Personally, that's a personal decision.
Thomas at 8-1 after missing the entire year. If he has a requisite Michael Thomas year, like, he's a really good shot to win.
Yeah, but if Michael Thomas is going to win, Jameis probably wins, right?
That's what I mean. That's what I think I picked Jameis over the summer when he was 8-1. He's down to 5.5-1.
Yeah, I mean, if you believe Mike Florio over at Pro Football Talk, the Steelers make the playoffs, so Mitch Trubisky might be the bet.
I felt more confident in the offseason.
Yeah.
I did. I don't feel as confident now between now and 8 o'clock. And the only other thing I was going to mention here for offensive player of the year, I will have a sprinkle on Mark Andrews. He's very unlikely to win it, but in the scenario where I love Lamar Jackson, he's got to throw touchdowns to somebody. And what if he ends up with like 13, 14, 15 touchdowns?
Yeah. And on top of that, 1,300 yards.
I'm trying to see where his number is right now. Do you see him up there on Offensive Player of the Year?
On Offensive Player of the Year. Hold on.
Tyreek Hill, 60-1.
He is 70-1.
Yeah, I will have pizza money plus on Mark Andrews. I'd like to get paid if that works out. Excellent stuff, Shyam. Now we turn our attention to an actual game tonight. We got 5 minutes because I have a phone call to make at 11 o'clock. We have 5 minutes to talk about this game tonight. It is the Bills. It is the Rams. It's the game everyone's going to watch. Everyone's going to bet on. Everyone's going to have daily fantasy stuff going in here. I'm probably a little overexcited for this tonight, Chris.
Very much so.
This line
has moved a point and a half since it opened. It opened at 1. It's now 2.5.
Okay, so Bills are favored by 2.5 points. They're getting, according to my buddy Ryan Hannibal, over 66% of the money right now.
Yep.
His records show that teams getting that much money to open the season are 11-5-1 in the last 16 games against the spread. Over-under is 52. I want to lay the Bills' money line. You can do it at -140 or the Rams at +120. Your thoughts on this game? Any prop action you like here tonight, Christian?
Yeah, it's really hard. This game's really hard for me to pick in some ways, just because early in the season, the idea is generally you want to take dogs because dogs win a ton, especially in the first 2 weeks of the season. And even more importantly, home dogs. That's what the LA Rams are tonight. They're the defending Super Bowl champions, and they're home dogs in their own building. And normally, I would be riding with the home dog here, but I just think the Buffalo Bills are going to absolutely steamroll this regular season here. So I'm going to go with the Bills -2.5 tonight. I don't see the Bills losing. I think they're so good. I don't see anybody stopping Josh Allen, to be honest with you, even with the loss of Brian Daboll. And then I got a couple props for you. Do you want to give your pick first, or should I go into my props?
I'd be leaning Bills. I like the over more.
Oh, okay.
I think both teams are very tough to stop. Like, I can just see it being very arena football. I won't say it'll be exactly like Rams and Chiefs was in Mexico City a couple of years ago, but if this thing is like 35-30 at the end, I would not be shocked. I think the offenses will be ahead of the defenses. I think that Ken Dorsey, the new coordinator there in Buffalo, is going to want to show off his weapons there in Buffalo. I think the Rams we'll get to the prop side of it. They're really good offense, and they know what they want to do. It's a very condensed passing window. So we know what Cooper Kupp is, who, by the way, could get out to a ridiculous start tonight.
Yes, he could.
Against the Bills. Allen Robinson on the other side now. Ben Skowronek is going to sprinkle in at receiver. Tyler Higbee is one of only two active tight ends on the roster. So if you are playing daily fantasy and looking at props, just know that that's where everything's going. And unfortunately, I wanted to tell you about Allen Robinson, but people were too sharp. Like, they bet his reception total up to 5.5. His receiving total has been bet up to 64.5, and it's -125 right now. But I did sort of like him. And I think him and Tyler Higbee as secondary pieces as part of Rams stacks tonight in daily fantasy make a lot of sense with Josh Allen. Because if it's not Cooper Kupp, it's one of those two. I don't know what they're going to do in the backfield, Chime. I guess my big concern on feeling good about the props for running backs in this, is it Cam Akers or Daryl Henderson? Is it Devin Singletary or James Cook? Or even Zach Moss got some run in training camp this year for Buffalo. So I have no real faith in my ability to pick out the running backs. I do feel confident that it's Kupp, Robinson, and Higbee for Matt Stafford and that Rams offense. What do you want to do for player props?
Yeah, so first player prop, I'm going to go right to one of those running backs because I feel different than you do about this Rams running back backfield. I think it's Cam Akers. It's Cam Akers all the way. I'm not going to go with the rushing yards, though. The Bills are pretty stout against the yards. I'm actually going to go with Cam Akers over 13.5 receiving yards. Last year in the playoffs, he had 20 receiving yards a game, and I hit on that, I think, 3 of 4 games that I bet it. So I actually really like Cam Akers. With the over 13.5 receiving yards this game, especially because I'm not exactly sure. I know Schefter came out with the report this morning that Stafford feels healthier today than he did this time last season, but I still have question marks about that elbow until I see it. So for me, I think the check down could be an option, which means Cam Akers is that guy. The next prop I have, speaking of Stafford's elbow, I'm going over 0.5 an interception for Matt Stafford. Not only am I still curious about that elbow, on top of that, Matt Stafford throws the ball just about as much as any other quarterback in football. And contrary to what people believe, interception numbers aren't necessarily because they're bad quarterbacks. It's just because they throw the ball so many effing times that there's opportunity for mistakes and for bad luck, bad bounces. I am going to go over on the 0.5 an interception for Stafford there. That's at -140. I don't love the value, but I love the pick so much that I'm going to make it. And the last one I have is Josh Allen over 277.5 passing yards. I think the Bills are the better team here. I think Allen is going to absolutely light it up tonight. I'm looking at him probably somewhere in the 320 range, if I had to guess. So I'm going to go Allen over 277.5.
Gabe Davis going to get a lot of love. He was awesome in the postseason last year. I'll not be shocked if he goes off for a big game in primetime tonight. Any time touchdown scorers, Shime.
Yeah, I got
you
one.
Feel good about that.
And it is my guy Dawson Knox for the Buffalo Bills. Just got a big contract extension, or they're in talks to finishing up a contract extension that'll make him one of like the top 5 paid tight ends in football. And if you're going to pay a guy that money, you're going to throw him the football, especially in the red zone. So I really like Dawson Knox tonight to score a touchdown.
For me, it's Tyler Higbee at 2-1, but I like Knox too. I think both tight ends tonight are going to be involved here. And again, I'm going to focus on Allen Robinson stuff tonight when it relates to DFS. Tyler Higbee, those two as the secondary pieces, and you're 1,000% right on your boy Josh Allen. Absolutely smashing. But on the game itself, I lean Bills. I like the over more of 52. Could see it being a shootout. By the way, the NFL wants a shootout, Sean.
Yeah.
Thursday night, shootout, opening.
No matter what anyone tells you, the games that get the most eyes are close, high-scoring
games. I like defense and running. Oh, like the old football. Ooh.
Baloney. The games that get the most eyes, even if it's Miami and Cleveland in week 15 in a game that doesn't matter, if it's 41-39, people are going to be watching. That's just how it is.
One other note of caution as we get into football season. Just be wary of where you're getting your information on certain things. I started reading somebody's breakdown of tonight's Bills game. And I don't want to call them out. But they were writing about not using Cole Beasley tonight for the Bills. I was like, well, Cole Beasley doesn't play for the Bills.
Holy smokes.
Out of the NFL. So just be wary, because everyone's got a blog now. Everyone's got a service.
It's oversaturated, Mutt.
Everyone wants to be in the gambling space.
Listen to
your
friends.
If somebody in the gambling space wants to talk about Cole Beasley and the Bills, they're idiots.
Yep.
Just be aware. One more time for the people, Shine. 3, 2, 1.
Subscribe, rate, review.
We went about 40 minutes, just like I said, Shime. Good luck tonight. We'll recap it all tomorrow morning. Thank you, buddy.
I can't wait, Mutt. Enjoy the football tonight, baby.
Woo!
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.